up, everybody? It's the LunaticRadio.com show. Back from break.
Yeah!
Email us at the show, LunaticRadio.com. Drunk call hotline, 206-202-LUNA. That's 206-202-5666, everybody. Hit us up.
Oh, fuck yeah!
I'm your host, Kim McCain, alongside me today, everybody. The talentless CEO Rocket.
Woo! Yeah!
And on that line with us, everybody, is a world-famous comedian. Guy's been on everything. HBO, everybody. HBO, you know that little thing you watch Sopranos on?
Sure, that little thing.
Yeah, that little thing. Bill Burr, everybody, joins us on the LunaticRadio.com show. Hey, Bill, what's up, man?
Nothing, man. What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I went from HBO to radio on the internet.
Yeah.
You made it.
It's great. You've made it.
Yeah, I'm going the other direction. Most guys are trying to become stars of movies. I'm trying to move back in with my parents.
Yeah. You're like doing the Chappelle thing. You know, you get the $50 million contract and just quit. Screw
it. I'm walking away.
Yeah.
I've made enough. I've made thousands in this business.
I want to go back to the gutter.
I'm driving a UPS truck next week.
Oh, my God, people. If you don't know who Bill Burr is...
You suck.
Yeah, I guess you haven't been listening to the Opie and Anthony radio show on XM202.
Yes.
The greatest radio show out there, I believe, right? Rocket, do you agree?
Absolutely. I love that fucking shit.
Yeah, I've been sitting in for Jim Norton the last couple of weeks. Jim's doing a sitcom on HBO. It's going to be great with Louis C.K. I think it's called Lucky Louie. It's coming out in January.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Wow.
Good for little Jim.
Yeah, another thing I do. I hype other people's projects. Yeah. I'm connected with.
Hey, dude, you got a lot of things coming up. I tell you what, your HBO half-hour comedy special was one of the funniest freaking things I've ever seen. I've never laughed so freaking hard in a half hour.
Oh, good, man. That's good to hear.
Yeah, dude, it was so...
I wanted to make sure I didn't suck. There's been so many great comics on HBO, so you get nervous in a good way before you do one of those.
I tell you what, Bill tells this story about, I guess you were going to see a chick out in Harlem, and Bill's...
Yeah, my girlfriend, yeah.
Yeah, your girlfriend, right? And,
When I first started going out with her.
Bill's a white guy, red hair, whatever,
sure.
And he gets a booty call, like, late night,
right.
And he's like, Christ, I gotta go to Harlem at, like, 4:30 in the morning. Hilarious freaking shit, dude. That whole freaking half hour was amazing, Bill.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, the only thing I think that saved me was I was so white, people would just... By the time they realized how white I was, when the shock wore off, I was already like 10 blocks away from them.
Yeah, they were like shocked to see you, I guess.
I think they just assumed he has to be a cop. There's nobody... Nobody white. Even light-skinned black people are in at that hour. Forget about somebody as white as me.
Yeah, this guy's undercover or some crap, right?
Yeah, it was just like me and a bunch of Jamaicans. I felt like I was in Mark for Death.
Oh, man. Hey, I actually wanted to mention this also, because you're a Boston Red Sox fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, huge. I grew up outside of the Boston area. Can't mess.
What do you feel about your team, like, kind of backing into the playoffs?
I would say this. It's like we're really hurting in the pitching department. You know, Schilling is, he's kind of touch and go, and we don't have a closer. So the fact that we actually got into the playoffs is amazing. And you know, we took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. I mean, last year we were the wild card, and look what happened. You know what I mean?
Right. That's true.
It's just good this year to finally just be able to root for them and not have to listen to all that horse shit on ESPN about the curse and all that crap. It was all stupid anyways, you know?
Yeah, I don't love picking on Boston Red Sox fans,
do.
But I love to hear the Red Sox fans go crazy about, like, Yankee fans and how the Yankees think their team's
right.
The best shit in the world.
This last year they haven't said shit. In fact, I live in New York City, and the other day when they clinched the division was the first time Yankee fans, I remember, like, since we won the World Series and they choked last year, whenever I had my Red Sox hat on, people would see the hat and they'd kind of look down at the ground. And after they clinched the division, it's the first time they've been looking me in the eye again with that, go fuck yourself, you Irish fuck, look on their face. I haven't seen that in 10 months, which has been real nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tried to...
Coming back, man. They're a great franchise or whatever. But like I said, since all that curse talk is over, I think even, like, a lot of Yankee fans, they were, like, sick of it because there was a lot of pressure on them that, you know, oh my God, we can't lose to these guys. These guys always choke, and if we choke to them, you know. And it finally fucking happened, and now everybody can move on and just more enjoy it like when you used to watch like the Cowboys, 49ers, or Lakers, right. Celtics in the 80s. You know, it's going to be great baseball. But I'm not counting out the Angels, though, man.
Oh, yeah. God, they are good this year.
I'm thinking Angels, St. Louis.
Yeah, well,
or maybe Houston, man. They pitching is where it's at, you know.
Well, we're all Yankee fans on this show, and
not me, Mets, baby. Yeah, we're going to play. We got a tee time tomorrow. Yes,
you suck.
You guys are all right though. That kid David Wright. You guys really suck last year. This year you only kind of suck. So next year, you know, maybe you'll be in it.
We're working our way up the suck ladder.
Yeah, next year you just won't suck so much.
Yeah.
So you're about 500, man. You guys are a decent squad.
No, definitely, man. Definitely.
Yeah.
We got that kid Jacobs. I'm not going to get into sports because Mike Jacobs. He's a good dude, too.
The Mets are atrocious.
Shut up.
They're freaking. Their stadium looks like a porno house.
It's
electric blue.
It smells like
that?
Piss.
Yeah.
That orange, it really is a shithole.
It's like
no outfield seats. It's like an old football stadium. It's like where the Broncos used to play.
Right.
It's like a round, mile-high stadium.
Yeah. So horrible.
Flying over it.
Oh, that's horrible. Every inning, you get at least one, like, 747 flying over. You go deaf for, like, a couple minutes.
Horrendous. People, if you don't know Bill's been on Conan O'Brien, Showtime at the Apollo, David Letterman, of course, the Opie and Anthony show, and you also worked on the Chappelle show, right?
Yeah, I was a red-headed white guy in the... I was in the racial draft. I was in the Law and Order skit. I shot the dog. Said that line, then she threw her titties in my hand. Then the World Series of Dice. Said then he put it. So I put my keys up my ass. Had all the great lines on the show. I got puked on in Dude's Night Out. That skit, and then jumped up and down with some transvestites in the end of it.
The real zingers.
I got yelled at in the Samuel Jackson skit. That was my body of work on the Chappelle show.
That's a resume.
Yeah, what can you do with that? Can you put that on a resume? I guess not, right?
Well, what sucks, yeah, is I go from town to town, and I'm like, yeah, I was on Chappelle's show. And they're like, well, give us some clips. And every clip, I'm saying titties or balls. You know, or I'm getting puked on or something, you know. That doesn't work too well for mainstream radio.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, you can't really say those, like, on the old Wacky Morning Zoo or something like that.
No. Not after the Janet Jackson incident, you can't.
We were talking about Ultimate Fighting with Bill Burr during the break. And we're just watching him because, you know, Bill's in New York, we're in New York, and it's on Channel 41 on Spike TV right now. And these guys are freaking insane, aren't they?
They just fucking beating the shit out of each other.
It's the best sport out there. You got to respect any guy just walking down the street who, you mean, I look at those guys and it's like none of them would get raped if they went to prison. As a man, you just have to respect that.
Yeah, right.
And they're not all, like, gigantic. Like, some of these guys look, I mean, you know, they're not obviously, like, dwarfs, but they're not huge, like, you know, WWE-style guys. These guys are kind of, you know, they're a smaller stature, but they fucking kill each other.
Yeah.
I mean, when you first watch it, it definitely looks like a Mel Gibson movie. You know, like, just Road Warrior shit. Looks really barbaric. But when you watch it and you get a little, you know, I have a real low, like, education to the shit. I've only been watching it for a couple of months, but you start to understand what they're doing and, you know, the whole art form to it. Like I said, I don't know shit about it, but it's just fascinating watching these. You know, like, most times if you're on your back in a fight, you're finished. 99% of the guys.
Right.
These fucking guys will be on their back and the dude's on top ready to punch him in the face and somehow they'll bend their thumb back. Or start to blow out their knee and the fight's just over.
They use some sort of, like, pressure move, like they stick their thumb in their neck or some crap like that. I remember back in the day, like, Hoist Gracie. Was that the big guy, the big grappler guy?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, those are the best ones. The first ones were the best ones.
Yeah, definitely. When he had Hoist Gracie, he was just the guy that did, like, all these, like, submission holds. Like, he'd get into the octagon with some huge fucking burly dude, right? And Hoist Gracie's, like, a small guy. You think, you know, he's like the guy working at 7-Eleven behind the counter.
What is his chances in the ring?
Yeah, and you think he's going to lose, but all of a sudden he does like some sort of snake move and grabs the guy's sack or some crap, and it's over.
All of a sudden he's like upside down in your leg like it's like a fucking gnat or something.
Yeah.
And you're just tapping out.
It's fucked up, man.
This guy's a
you know what's
nerd.
Good about the first ones? The first ones actually were like you know, for years, I guess those martial artist guys used to argue, like, you know, whose style was better.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you were a Taekwondo guy, that's all you knew. So they had, like, Taekwondo versus boxing and blah, blah, blah. And what happened was, I guess all the grapplers were winning because, like, you know, most of the fights end up on the ground. And then if you didn't have any sort of grappling ability, you got choked out real quick. So then I think then everybody started learning grappling. And then it got boring for a while. And now it's a great mix where you get some striking in the beginning and then they just choke each other out on the ground.
It just
runs the whole gamut of violence. Anything you're looking for.
It's brutal and we love it. Yeah. I mean, we're watching it right now and it's just some guy kneeling down just all fucked up. Jesus Christ.
Kick the shit out of somebody.
My favorite one of all time. Did you ever see when that little white dude was fighting that black dude who was about like 5,000 pounds?
Yeah.
I don't know where this guy got a gi. He must have, you know, he must have had, like, to put seven of them together. And he just comes walking out like this mass. It's like a mountain with legs, right? And the little white dude just runs across the ring, jumps up in the air, and just blasted him right in the temple. And the guy he knocked him out one punch.
Jesus
Holy
Christ.
Shit.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Ultimate Fighting is a freaking...
They probably show that clip at white supremacist tapes around the country. Ah, that was fucked up.
Yeah,
it's all right.
That's all right. You can say that crap on our show, you know? Screw it.
Yeah, so, as long as people know I'm joking.
Yeah, of course.
Clan fan mail.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, brother.
We're with you, man.
Yeah. That still blows my mind that shit, like that level of racism still exists.
Oh, dude, you go down south, it's all over the place. Anyway, Bill, you've been a veteran of comedy, right? You've been in what? How many? About 10 years or so?
No, I got 13.
13 years in comedy.
Damn.
Yeah.
And how often do you, like, because I always like to know, like, when comedians break up their material, like, they have, like, one set written out. And how long do you perform that until you, like, start bringing in new material? You know what I mean?
All right, well, say that half hour I just did on HBO.
Yeah.
I immediately dumped all that the second. I taped that in April. It debuted on September 16th. So I was like, okay, I have, was that May, June, July, August, September. I had about 4.5 months to come up with, like, a new 28 minutes to replace that shit. Now, I'm not saying if you come out and see me do an hour, you'll see a couple of those jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, the big thing is you don't want to be that guy when you go out, people are, like, lip-syncing your act. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, yeah.
Because, what was it, Chris Rock said that. Like, people want to hear a song again, you know, like their favorite song, but, like, a joke is different. Once you know, I guess, like, with a joke, there's that surprise where you don't know where you're going with it. So I guess if you know where it's going, it's not funny.
Yeah. So, like, from the time when you taped the HBO special in April, when you went out on the road after that, you did that material until it debuted on TV.
I live in New York City, right? So I can go on stage anytime I want. It's the best city to be a comedian, I think, you know? So I immediately, you know, I would go around town, I'd be doing 10, 15-minute spots. So I kept, like, the opening joke, and I kept a closing joke from that set. And then the middle, I would just fuck around. You know, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, during the week, I would just be basically bombing. getting my shit together.
Yeah, right.
And then you get a couple of jokes that you like, and then you toss out, you know, you go, you just start, you know,
trying shit out.
The other jokes. Like, where my act is right now, it's not as strong as... Like, that shit, that was a half-hour A material for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have another 30 minutes of material, of which I'm happy with 15. But I have another 15 that's decent enough that I'm kind of trying to replace that. But I have enough shit that where I'm going to make you laugh and not say the same stuff. But I figure by mid-November, my act is really it's going to be back to where it was when I did the special.
Yeah.
But it's going to be different material.
Oh, good stuff.
Fucking A.
So that's always interesting to me to figure out when comics, like, change their material. I don't know.
Some guys keep doing the same shit. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, you know, I've seen that, like, with some comics. I'm not going to name anybody, but, like, I see him, like 2 years ago doing some sort of a set, and then, like, I see him do, like, come on, like, a TV show like Letterman or something like that, and they're doing the same goddamn jokes. I'm like, what the hell is this? I mean, this guy's going to start writing new stuff.
I was about to say someone when you said, I'm not going to start using the name. I'm like, better not.
Who are you going to say? Write it down, because I want to know.
Oh, well, I don't know if you know.
Well, you know what it is? Like, those comics, man, that's, like... That's instant death. Like, you know, the industry, when you go out, you do like these industry showcases where, you know, people from the business, agents, managers, and casting directors come and see you. First time they see you, you go up, you rip with that material. That's kind of like the coming out. Like, oh, who the hell is this guy? Blah, 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 right? Then, you know, a year goes by, and then 2 years go by, and they come and they see you again. They're like, oh, that was that guy I thought was kind of funny. And you go up and you do the exact same material. You look like you haven't done anything in 2 years.
Yeah, you're, like you're not a go-getter, you know?
Yeah, and at that point, they just look at, like, I've seen that guy. I've seen everything that he can do, and you're finished. You always got to...
Yeah.
I've always been conscious of making sure I'm doing different stuff the next time around and...
show people that,
like,
you can go different ways.
Remembering what you were doing. And then if each time you come, you make them laugh with different stuff in this roundabout way, they almost become a fan of yours.
Right, right. I understand that. That makes sense.
That's how you play the game, fellas.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
Kick some ass, take some names.
Wait, what do you want to be, like a comedian when you grow up?
No.
Like a little thing?
Dude, I'm never going to be a comedian.
You have nothing. Shut up.
I tell you what, we love comedians on this damn show.
Oh, hell yeah.
That is the one job in entertainment that takes balls.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Christ almighty, you put your ego out on stage every goddamn night.
Right.
And some night, most of the nights, it doesn't go well.
Right.
You know?
You're playing to two people.
I think the most humiliating shit I've done has been in acting.
Really?
Yeah, because you know what? It's like, as a comedian, you write everything. So, and you have final say whether you want to try something. It's like when you go in for like an acting gig, like on sitcoms and shit.
Yeah.
I've had them literally have me dressed up like a clown. Literally like a clown.
Yeah, I guess
I stupid joke. I had to come out and start dancing going, okay, who's ready to party? Wacky. And it's just, nothing I've done in my act has been more humiliating than shit like that.
Yeah, you can't go home and like brag to the parents about that job, right? I know what you mean.
It's like, as a comic, you learn how to bomb gracefully. It's like an art, you know what I mean? There's two ways of bombing. There's the bombing where you're kind of laughing and having a good time and you're freaking the crowd out and comedians in the back of the club are enjoying it. And then there's the other one where you have, like, flop sweat and there's no saliva left in your mouth and you want to kill yourself. That's the bad kind. So I kind of learned with acting is you got to do the Jim Carrey thing where you just, whatever they tell you to do, you just commit to it 100%. Because the second you pull back, you look like the biggest asshole who ever walked the planet. And believe me, I've been there.
Oh, man.
It's not pretty.
I can only imagine.
No, you know what it's like to be an asshole.
Hey, where are you guys on? I heard you guys are on the MySpace, huh?
Yeah, we're on the MySpace.
Oh, yeah, we love MySpace.
Dude, fucking MySpace.
Fucking rocks.
Dude,
I'll tell you right now, anybody who's listening, man, you gotta get on this shit. This is the easiest way to meet women.
Oh my God.
I've ever found in my life.
Dude, Bill, you're preaching to the choir, man.
It's like shooting pussy in a barrel.
Yes, it is. That is it.
Dude, I'm telling you, no more going to a bar and seeing some girls trying to get them separated from their friends and coming up with an opening line, all that shit.
Yeah, fuck
all
that.
All you gotta do, this is what you do. You go on MySpace, right?
Yeah.
And you find some girl who looks a little whorish who lives in the state that you're in.
Yeah.
You don't go with the girl who's got the glossy, like, professional porno star picture. You got the girl who looks like, you know, she only has, like, 16 friends, and she has, like, low self-esteem.
Right, right.
Then you go on, and you read her little bio about herself, and whatever her dream is, you send her an email and tell her that you think she can achieve it. And I'm telling you, dude.
Yes.
In 3 minutes, she'll send you a picture of her titties.
Oh, nice. I love it. Free smut.
Holy shit, man. I tell you what, MySpace, we've just joined it, and I've become addicted to that fucking thing.
Like, I'll be on there late. We're talking right.
Like, unusually, like, back a couple weeks ago, I'd be just searching for porn, you know?
Right.
Now I'm on MySpace searching for broads.
Yeah.
That's all I'm doing. And I'm doing what Bill suggests.
It's just completely, it's overrated. They always say it's free, and then you go there, and then you got to have some sort of membership. And
yeah.
It's like, you know, I don't want a membership to, you know, bigbooty.com on my credit card bill. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I want to talk to this low self-esteem bitch on MySpace.
These chicks are out of control, though, man. They're literally wearing nothing, and they're, like, posting pictures of themselves.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is fantastic.
MySpace is
great. Dude, I was
great.
Up to this girl the other night, right? She just had that look on her face. I click on her thing, and another big thing you got to do, you got to click other photos.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
everybody's photo makes them look like a supermodel.
Yeah.
And even if you're ugly, you can get one of those.
Yeah.
But when you go to other photos, you see what the person really looks like.
Yeah, you get the not-so-good photo.
Right. Yeah, they go from a 10 down to about a 4, right?
Yeah, and then you got to average it out a little bit.
Yeah, which is cool because I'm about a 6, so I figure, all right, you know. I'm not turning down 4s, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I go into this girl's the other night, and it was like, you know, she just had that look in her eye, right? So I click on a thing, and in her picture, she's leaning back. She's got, like, a leg behind her shoulder, and the clip underneath says, nice tie, wanna fuck?
Nice!
And I'm like, there you go.
Done.
Okay, I'll send her an email.
I sent her an email within, like, I can't say 2 minutes. I talked to her for about a half an hour, probably about 8 back and forths.
Yeah.
You know, she sent me a nice picture of her titties.
Wow. That's A-game.
36 C's, and I swear to God, half the titty was areola.
Holy shit.
I love those native titties, man.
Native titties.
I love those things. Those are the best. Yeah, I love
it's
my
wonderful. Space. So now, you know, if I ever go to Hayes, Nebraska, I got some pussy lined up.
There you go. A future reference for you. That's
I'm
good.
I'm telling you.
Yeah,
anybody
I love.
Anybody out there who's listening, especially girls with low self-esteem, I'm on MySpace.
Yeah. Log on to Bill Burr on MySpace, everybody. What is it? I'm sure that's low. MySpace/Bill Burr. That's the URL.
You know what? It's easier just to go to my website. Just go to BillBurr.com. It's BURR.com. Click on MySpace. And
yeah, hook yourself up.
Send a little wink.
Become a friend.
Yes.
Send a friend.
A little semicolon close parentheses to the Bill Burr guy. You know?
Yeah. Send Bill some love.
Plus, also, if you go on there on my homepage, I have all the info for my Montreal comic.
Oh,
store.
Yeah, dude. This looks like a huge.
That's the most horrific picture of me ever.
Yeah, but it's a great freaking build. What? There's like 10 comedians, 9 comedians on there. You got Nick DiPaolo, Greg Giraldo, a bunch of other guys. And it's...
Yeah, we're all going to do 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at the bill and I was like, God damn, this is going to be like a Lollapalooza.
It's
like,
no, it's the Ozfest of comedy.
Yeah,
everyone just gets their shit up and they got to go.
I guess.
Yeah, no, there's going to be like a second stage.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. And you don't want to be on that. Second
no.
stage. But,
no, that's not the one you want to be on.
No. Yeah, so it's Just for Laughs, Monster Comedy Event, and you got, you know, Ari Spears, Bill Burr, a whole bunch of people on there. When does that begin? It's like in Philadelphia or something, like October 13th? Is that right?
Yeah. I got, we're hitting a bunch of cities. We're hitting Philly, we're hitting New York City, Tarrytown, New York, Boston, Massachusetts. We got a gig in Rhode Island. We're up in Maine, Vermont.
Holy shit.
Albany, New York. We got one out in Buffalo.
Damn.
You got the groupies all over you, man.
Hartford, yeah. It's all kind of the Adams division for old hockey.
Yes! Say hockey. That's my man, Bill. Yes!
Bill, you're a hockey fan.
I was in the 80s.
Oh,
see?
Fuck.
See, everybody,
fuck, Bill.
Everybody
thanks.
Loses touch with
thanks.
Hockey.
Thanks.
Dude, you know what happened? You know the worst thing that ever happened to hockey was Wayne Gretzky going to the LA Kings, and then all the teams came south.
Yeah.
Out of Canada.
Right.
And then they added like 10 teams in cities that should not have hockey teams, and everybody changed their fucking uniforms. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even recognize the league anymore.
That's funny.
Like the Buffalo Sabres, man. Remember that? They used to have the blue with the white Buffalo, right?
Fuck yeah.
Now their colors are like red, gray, and black. I feel like I'm watching like the IHL.
Yeah,
well, like, what the hell does, like...
Every time somebody gets a bloody nose in the NHL, all these fags who don't even watch hockey come in, and they start talking about hockey like it's 1976. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. Yeah, I was bummed when, like you were saying with Gretzky, also when, like, Hartford moved to Carolina. Mm-hmm. That was just, that's a classic, moving to the South. Or like,
oh, yeah.
Winnipeg went to...
Hurricanes.
Yeah, oh, just, yeah, it's a definitely, I totally agree
uniforms.
With
uniforms.
What does freaking Phoenix need a hockey team for?
No, I don't know why these fucking Southern teams have, you know.
Yeah, anyway.
I went to a game in Nashville, right? Nashville Predators.
Right.
I go to, like, all the stadiums when I'm on the road. That's what, you know, keeps me from killing myself when I'm out there, right?
Gotta get out of a hotel room.
I go to this game, right? Nashville Predators. I mean, there's literally people playing, like, you know, country music and playing fiddles right outside the arena.
Holy shit.
I go in there. I swear to God, they're playing the game. The puck goes into the corner, and this girl... two rows behind me yells out, she goes, squish him!
Squish!
I have never heard that yelled at a hockey game. They don't even know how to cheer.
Squish him.
I would leave.
Take the body, skate, you know.
Right.
Drop the gloves. I've never heard squish him.
What the fuck? Hockey sucks.
Shut up. I'm still going to my Islanders game. Shut up.
Hockey's still a great game. The NHL is run by a bunch of morons.
Right. Exactly.
It shouldn't be in cities where there's a warm climate, or there's like Bill says, country bands playing outside the arena.
Okay.
And you should still be able to fight. You know what I loved about that sport? That was the one sport where you couldn't talk shit. Everybody in every other sport, they talk shit, and all their teammates surround them. So even if you get into a fight, you only got to blast off a couple, and everybody breaks it up.
Exactly.
But hockey, it was like, you talk shit, some guy could beat the shit out of you. He goes to the penalty box for 5 minutes. He comes out. He can beat the shit out of you again.
Right.
They send him back to the box for 5 minutes. He comes out a third time and beats you up before they were finally like, okay, all right, buddy, you know what? I think it's time for you to go to the showers.
Like, guys like T.L. would never survive in hockey. And that's what I love, because, like, if you start with a guy on my team, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
exactly.
Bust out the UFC on him.
Yeah, they let him go in hockey. They let him fight it out.
Yeah, they still do it. They're just trying to control a little bit, right. Which kind of sucks. But
that's
anyways.
Another thing. UFC, they jumped all over that. And I don't understand these people. It's like, why can't they just be like, look, this sport is not for you?
Yeah, why are they bothering with UFC? I mean, this is what that sport is. Just leave it alone. And they're getting, fuck.
They try to take violence out of the equation of life.
Right.
Like, it doesn't exist.
Right.
You know what I mean? It does exist. You walk down the street, someone can jump you. If you know what these guys know, you're not going to get killed. So...
yeah, I don't understand.
All these guys are doing is they're experimenting on each other. So someday when you go to take a self-defense class, what these guys learn against each other by getting the shit kicked out of them, they're going to teach you.
Right.
How about that for a positive spin on UFC?
Yeah, right.
You really worked that pretty good.
That was awesome.
I was waiting to see where you were going.
Funny? Halfway through that, I realized how full of shit I was. Yeah, I hadn't researched any of it, so I'm literally running to the end of that sentence.
I was just going
to
let you...
God, no one would question me.
There's going to be no commas now, baby. I'm getting right to... I see that period. It's right there.
Yeah, I was just, you kind of lost me a little bit. But I got ADD.
That's for sure.
That's my problem.
That's great.
I'm half a retard.
Well, full retard.
Yeah, none of my shit is researched. Anybody who's listening, they're just...
Yeah, they're just like, what is he talking about?
I just start talking.
Yeah. So you're going out to Sacramento in a couple days, right? October 6th through the 9th?
I am. The crazy town of Sacramento.
Yeah, that place is nuts, right?
That's right up there with the state of Utah. People are out of control up there.
You know, I flew over Sacramento once in a plane, and I was like, wow, that place is boring. And that was like from 10,000 feet. Oh, I could notice that.
That was horrible.
Yeah, but you know what? Trash, you know what's funny about places like that? You end up going there. The most boring places have the biggest psychos.
Oh, yeah.
On the planet, because they go crazy.
Yeah, because they're locked up in their apartment or their bedroom for like 23 hours a day because they have nothing to do.
When you go out and you do gigs like in Iowa, you're like, there is nothing out here. These people, and they start talking about the crime and shit out there, and it's like, what? They go crazy. Anybody out there's got like a crystal meth lab?
Yeah.
Bands like Slipknot come from out there.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Those guys are maniacs.
Right.
Yeah. I got a cousin who lives out there who lives in his car and grows marijuana in the woods.
Holy Jesus.
I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
There's a family reunion.
Yeah, he doesn't come
That's
to the
funny. Like, my black friends will ask me, they're like, Bill, why are these kids out there, why are they so angry, man? What are they going to be angry about? They look at it and they see the corn and the birds and shit.
Yeah.
And they're thinking there's no crackhead there to stab you. It's like, go live out there for a couple months.
Yeah.
And I want you to sit in that cornfield and not think about shooting up a school. Yeah. I dare you.
they got nothing to do. They got no one to talk
to.
They need some friends. They can't talk to a tree. It doesn't talk back.
I know. Like, you look at that, like, field of dreams. Like, the wheat starts talking to you. You're, like, building right. baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
You go out of your fucking mind out there.
You go out to Iowa for a little while, you turn into Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Christ almighty. It's amazing.
There's another thing. I use that movie as a reference. I've never even seen it.
Really?
I'm just praying to God the movie trailer was actually what happened.
Yeah, pretty much was.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, was it? Okay.
That was the full movie.
If
right
you
there.
See a Kevin Costner movie trailer, that's pretty much the whole movie right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys keep me on any longer. I'm going to start referencing books I've never even heard of.
Yeah. No, I was just going to give you a bunch of plugs and let you go because you've been kicking ass for a half hour here.
I can't believe you dealt with us this long. No. Hung up.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to just hang up.
I didn't know that was an option.
Well, it always is, I guess. I don't know.
I don't want to burn the internet radio bridge here, people.
Bill Burr, great sports for coming on
yes,
LunaticRadio.com show. We appreciate it. Bill will be at
Yeah, anytime, man. Anytime you need to fill up a half hour, give me a buzz.
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. Bill, are you going back on...
I'd love to tell you I have something better to do, but I don't.
Are you going back on O&A show anytime soon?
Yeah, I should be back there... in a couple of weeks, I should be
couple
back.
Weeks.
Depends on when superstar Jimmy Norton isn't there.
Yeah. Little Jimmy.
All right, good man. We'll
little
be listening.
Jimmy.
Little Jimmy.
I tell you what, you do a great job on that show. I've been listening for the past 2 weeks, man. Funny freaking stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
So you'll be at the Punchline in Sacramento, October 6th through the 9th. You got the Just for Last Monsters comedy event, everybody, with 9 freaking comedians, everybody. It's a tour. Log on to haha.
Go to BillBurr.com, B-U-R-R, and you can click right on a link right on the homepage.
Right.
Visit me on MySpace.
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Give me some feedback or whatever.
Right.
Talk about your dreams with them.
You can also log on to hahaha.com to check out more information about Monster Comedy Event. Bill, thank you so much for coming on, man. You kick ass.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're a cool dude, man. Keep it
All
real.
Right, good luck. Give me a buzz anytime, man.
All right, great. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
All right, take it easy.
Later.
Later.
Bye.
Bill Burr, everybody, on the LunaticRadio.com show. Funny freaking guy.
Yeah, these people think they don't have to hang up. They can just hang up.
Yeah, you know. You know, that's why I like Bill, man. I saw him on the HBO comedy thing, and he just seemed like a normal guy.
Right.
And he was just funny. And I was like, I called Jenny. I was like, Jenny, we got to get this guy in a freaking show.
Yeah.
This guy, classic shit. Oh,
good effing stuff, man.
Good stuff, everybody. We'll take a break. We'll come back on more LunaticRadio.com show right after this.
It's LunaticRadio.com.
I'm hearing what's going on. It's gas again. Listen, I'm half-bombed again. Off wine in the room with myself in my underwear. Just fucked up. Same show I'm listening to 2 nights in a row. How does this fucking station work? Are you guys live every night? Once a week? What the fuck's going on? I don't know what to do. I'm in my room again in my underwear. I mean, do you guys want me to listen or you don't? Say something good. Talk dirty. Get that girl Summer back on or whatever the fuck her name is. I need something to listen to. What's going on here? Get back to me. Later. Gats. I'm out. Bye.
Welcome to the best or the worst of LunaticRadio.com.
So last night with the Grammys, everybody, and if you missed it, J-Lo and her new husband of the week, Mark Anthony, did a duet in Spanish. The worst piece of crap. Like, when I was watching this last night, I was like, I felt like I was watching, like, a high school talent show. You know how, like, you ever go to a high school talent show and you're sitting in the crowd and and you're sitting in the crowd, and you really don't want to watch the skit, but you're like, you put up with it. That's kind of what this performance is like for me.
Because, man,
J-Lo's like hot, but when you're singing in
like
Spanish,
Telemundo.
Yeah, like this ain't the Spanish Grammys or the Hispanic Grammys, whatever they call them now.
Yeah, you know, they're trying to be inclusive. You know, you can't really hammer them.
I'm not hammering them for singing in a different language.
I'd hammer them for being bad.
Yeah.
Know? Regardless, hey, Spanish, English, whatever, it's still bad.
But when everybody else is doing, like, you know, the latest hit or a tribute to American classic music or whatever, stuff like that, classic rock, and boom, you break out with some love song that's in Spanish?
It's what they call a showstopper.
Yeah, it's a show killer.
Yeah, because everybody's like, what? Yeah, time to get up and go to the bathroom.
Not to mention that, like, how was Mark Anthony banging the talentless J-Lo? How does that happen?
I don't know.
J-Lo's a hot piece of ass. You ever seen Mark Anthony?
I think the chick he was married to before J-Lo was pretty hot, too, though.
Yeah, but,
he gets some hot ass.
Come on. She was with Ben Affleck. Like, her standards aren't that high.
She was with a backup dancer for a little while, wasn't
That's
she?
Right, yeah. And then you should have seen the guy she married before she was famous.
She really don't.
He's like a waiter.
Yeah, she really don't strive for excellence.
No. She's like, everybody gets a turn. Karen, I think you're ready December 2011.
Thank you.
You need to get lined up with the turnstile.
Yeah. J-Lo marries radio host Kieran McCann.
So J-Lo and Mark Anthony were atrocious last night. It was a pathetic performance. You should both just retire and
right. Make a porno.
Get lost in traffic or something. I don't know. Do something. Just don't be singing anymore.
J-Lo should just stick to acting in those really good movies that she makes.
Yeah. Christ. Right, yeah, so they sucked.
We almost had a little bit of an accident here.
Some of the winners last night were Maroon 5, everybody. They won for something.
Who?
Maroon 5.
Who were they?
Yeah.
Those, well, you know what? I think those are those five Maroons.
I think I've seen their edition of Cribs. That's how I know who they are. I think I know who they are, actually.
I don't know. It's just a band. I don't know who they are.
All I know is every time I go on, like, iTunes, they're, like, the number one downloaded stuff.
Yeah, because all 13-year-olds are all digging them, you know?
Oh, my God. Kanye West, I want to thank you so much for being unbelievable. Tom Corse and Clive Davis. Oh, my God. There's so many names I can't even begin.
Oh, my God.
Rich Palmese. Andy Lack. Jordan Feldstein's the best manager in the entire universe.
All right, yeah.
Who cares?
Room 5. Best. I guess they won for best pop something.
Who cares?
Alicia Keys, the chick with the hottest face but the nastiest dumper in the world.
Did you see what she was wearing? She had that outfit on that barely covered her ass crack.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, and she does have a nasty dumper too.
That's horrible. You can't find much to cover that ass though.
No, but she barely had it covered.
I would pay money
to hear somebody say that to me, like, you would be so pretty if you just didn't have such an unattractive dumper.
I guess. I swear to God, you could build a golf course on that ass.
Right. You would be so hot if it wasn't for your ass.
Thank you so much. It's so hard because you have to make this so quick.
Yeah.
This album means so much to me, but it wouldn't be anything without the people that hold me down every single day.
Yeah.
Crucial right here.
Crucial.
Other half of Crucial Keys, who is an incredible musician and producer. And Jeff Robinson, my management, who has been with me since day one. Without these people, I would be nothing. So I want to thank them. I want to thank all the other people that help make me create and make it possible. Peter Edge, Clive Davis, Andy Lack, Richard Paul Measy, Ken.
She should thank her ass because, the brothers are digging the ass. The whole J-Lo factor with the ass. But it's just gotten a little too big. You know?
Yeah. And you know what else? She doesn't have, like, the boobs to go with the butt.
No, but she's got a great grill. She's a pretty girl, but her body's just a mess.
Right. I saw her on Regis. She hosted Regis one day, because I turned it on to get my Kelly Ripa fix.
Mm-hmm.
And instead I got Alicia Keys. And, like, hearing her talk, like, she's...
Green Day performed last night. Anybody catch that performance? They dropped the word faggot. In the middle of the song.
Word?
I'm surprised, like, with all the political correctness nowadays, that no one was in an uproar
over
that.
Don't they use it in the context of where it's, like, empowering?
I don't know.
Even though how empowering can faggot be? But
right.
That's what I read in the paper.
You think the word faggot would, you know, red flag
Wasn't
for all the
there, like, a huge
CBS
controversy
executives.
When that other idiot used it at the Grammys, Eminem? Weren't they up in arms when he used it in all songs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were protesting Eminem.
That's right, because he's a misogynist.
Right, something like that. Homophobe. Well, maybe I'm a faggot, a mick. Very clearly. I'm not a part of a redneck agenda. It was a good performance. I'm not a big Green Day fan, but it was a good performance.
They won for best rock band?
I think so. So that was Green Day last night.
Has anybody even bought that album? Have you bought that album?
I can't stand it.
They don't buy albums.
That album is like huge seller, but yeah. I've never even touched it. And I used to be a big Green Day fan.
I have the one.
For some reason, I just can't get into this.
It's the same crap they made back in the mid '90s.
Right. I can't
get
into it.
Sounds the same.
You know, like you go political, you lose me. You know,
yeah.
The only band I know that should go political is like Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, because they started out doing that
crap. I dig that. But all the other bands, I'm like, yeah, you should. You know, you were singing about jerking off not too long ago.
Every band they can't stay like that. You know, look at Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine brought to you by Pepsi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, eventually,
on.
Yeah.
Eventually, you can't keep being, you know, doing that.
It's
not going to work for you.
I just remember they used to be, like I said, they used to sing about masturbation, and now they're doing political. I don't buy it.
Right.
So, I mean, that's what kind of turns me off.
Yeah. Junior brings up a good point, though. Because eventually every band will be sponsored by something.
They're all going to sell out.
Some performance,
I guess when you already sold out and then you go get political, it's that much more annoying because it's just like, especially I don't want to listen to three complete jackasses tell me what my political views should or should not be. It's like,
even in a song.
Chick-fil-A presents Hate Breed.
Yeah, right.
Right. Before we start talking to you about how bad the government is, stop by the concession stand and pick up a nice Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Yeah.
Now back to the show.
Now Green Day also won for best rock something.
Well, there's a ton of people we have to thank. So who should we start with? Rob Cavallo, for one, who made the record with us. Thank you. Been with us for a long time. We love you. Thanks a lot. You know, Pat Magnarella, all the people that are at Reprise, and Mike, go ahead.
Everybody at Warner Brothers, thank you very much for your hard work here. All the fans, everybody at radio that plays rock and roll music still.
EBPM.
Yeah, our EBPM crew and everybody at 880 Studios up north for working the whole time.
Yeah,
who cares?
You know, I'm listening to that, and I'm getting like blah 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 blah.
Who cares about your
blah,
friends?
Blah. You know, if you were really rock and roll, you would go up there, and the first thing you would do is like spit. Right. You know, just be like, I'm out.
Yeah, thanks, bitches.
What happened to rock and roll? Like, there is no more rock and roll.
No, there is.
There is.
There's no Led Zeppelin anymore.
Well, you know, they're all faking it, basically, because they might sound rock and roll, but they're not rock and roll. They're not like, you know, Led Zeppelin, where they're making a girl bang a mud shot.
Right.
You know, they're just so sanitized. And
you get Led Zeppelin up there, they're going, hey, yeah, thanks for the award, I'm going to go get laid now.
Right, yeah. Where's the days when Guns N' Roses go up to, you know, get their Grammy trashed?
And just,
yeah.
You know, it's Slash Candy.
F-bombs.
Yeah, trash. Slash can't even say anything without dropping like 5 F-bombs. Yeah. You know? I mean, that's rock and roll.
Kanye West was the big nominee last night. He had 10 nominations, won 3 times, and apparently backstage last night after the Grammys, he threw a hissy fit, that pussy.
Nice.
He's the polo wearing...
Yeah, he's the faggot rapper.
All right. He's the guy with all the metal and stuff in his face, ain't he?
Because he broke his jaw in a car accident.
His whole face is reconstructed.
Do you have a copy of the hissy fit?
No, I don't. It was in an article I read today.
Are we going to hear him thanking people?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, because he
Does
gets...
Does he sound like a fag?
He looked all nervous, and he looked like the... When he was giving his speech, it was like... Like, he was the most important person at the whole Grammys.
When I say, does he sound like a fag, I mean that in a very empowering way. Like, I don't want him to think that I'm demeaning him or anything.
Well, let's listen to what he had to say.
Y'all might as well get the music ready, because this is finna take a while.
Yeah.
It's finna take a while.
When I had my accident, I found out at that moment, nothing in life is promised except death.
That's nice.
Yeah. Aww, way to bring everybody down. Yeah, way to warm up the crowd, big guy.
This is fitting to take a while.
If you had the opportunity to...
Opportunity. I always have opportunities.
I got plenty of opportunities. Yeah. Right at my fingertips. Opportunity.
Sounds like something you should cook.
Play this game of life. You need to appreciate every moment. A lot of people don't appreciate their moment until it's past. And then you got to tell those Al Bundy stories. You remember when I... But
that was his.
He didn't get a laugh.
Yeah, that was his shot of being funny right there. That was his kicker.
Yeah,
and no one got it.
He needed a rim shot right there.
Got halfway through the line and knew it just wasn't going to work, so he stopped.
Remember when I scored 4 touchdowns?
Right now is my time and my moment. Thanks to the fans. Thanks to the accident.
Thanks to the accident.
He thanked his accident that destroyed his face for a while.
The guy, thanks to Rockefeller, Jay-Z, Dame Dash, G, my mother, Rhyme Fest, everyone that's helped me. And I plan to celebrate and scream and pop champagne every chance I get, because I'm at the Grammys, baby.
This guy doesn't know how to handle fame.
I
think he's already started his own record label.
Yeah, it's already gone to his head. He's not even that important, like, in the grand scheme of things.
I love that industry now. There's, like, record labels with, like, 400 names. It's like Interscope, Aftermath, Shady, Limp Bizkit.
Everybody's a sub of something.
Somebody asked me the question. They wanted to know, if I didn't win, I guess we'll never know.
So that guy thinks he's more, like, important than he actually is.
Yeah, well.
He's a little conceited. I think he's a little gay, too. He could be the first gay rapper. Like, wasn't that dude with the polka dots the first gay rapper?
Kwame? No, actually, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. Because I saw him in an interview where he was saying he was hitting on girls. So.
Uh-huh. They also did at the Grammys last night. It was a big collaboration performance with like U2, not U2, Bono. You know, they got all the guys from that supergroup rock band. What's their names now?
Velvet Revolver,
and I don't know, all sorts of people on stage.
They won a Grammy last night.
What did they win a Grammy for? Best heroin rebound.
Hard rock performance.
Really?
Oh, they did? They did win something?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Did Motorhead.
So the big collaboration performance went down, and it was nice, but Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, he kind of ruined it because halfway through the song, Brian Wilson's part kicks on, and he sounds like a retard, everybody.
Well, the guy had a stroke.
Well, come on. Be in tone.
I just sort of just took the wind.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
I'm sorry, I didn't know he had a stroke, but he does sound retarded. Come on.
Nothing's gonna change.
I don't care if it's stuck out. That's fun.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna change my world.
That's funny, dude. I gotta hear that again.
Nothing's gonna change my world.
Nothing gonna change my world.
Yeah, but the guy had a stroke, for Christ's sake.
I know, but he does sound retarded.
Who's that? Is that, what's his name?
Brian Wilson?
No, who's that?
Like a million eyes that call me.
That sounds like Alicia Keys.
That's Alicia Keys.
They had all of them up there, huh?
Yeah. They had that jazz chick up there, the one we like. Who's the jazz chick?
Norah Jones,
yeah. Across the universe. Yeah, it was a good song. But I just wanted to point out that Brian Wilson, even though he did suffer a stroke in the past, sounded a little off key, and since we all have horrible senses of humor, we thought it was funny that he sounded like a retard.
I think that's great. I think that's absolutely great.
I don't know. Everybody was in a hissy fit over this performance. Like, you can go download it and stuff. And, of course, all the proceeds go to, like, help the people over there in Indonesia and stuff.
Right.
Which is nice. But the performance was horrible.
Yeah. Well, because you got, like yeah, like this guy. Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
Who's, like, chewing up the scenery.
Yeah.
You know? And he's the only, everybody's out there, like, kind of singing. But he's out there and he's got his, like, microphone stand with all his scarves and everything.
And, yeah. Yeah. I think some of the performers on stage were like, this is not working. Like, you see it in their faces.
Yeah.
Like, we're all out of tune. This is just look like a bunch of retards up here.
Well, because you just can't put, you know, the whole idea about having more than, like, one person singing is harmony. You
right.
You have to harmonize. And you can't harmonize with, like, 12 different people who have 12 different voices.
Right.
And one guy just had a stroke.
You got, like, Tim McGraw, who's, like, completely tone deaf up there.
Got a hot wife, though.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he can sound however he wants.
Yeah, I know. That guy,
that's just
won the lottery.
He should
be like, aces in my book.
How you doing? I'm Tim McGraw. My wife's Faith Hill. There you go.
Yeah.
Need I say more?
I bang one of the hottest chicks on the planet.
Thanks.
Can we just hear Brian Wilson's part one more time, please? I'm sorry.
Nothing's gonna change my world. Nothing's gonna
All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to hell. I know this already. That's why I make these jokes.
Yeah, you were on your way to hell a long time.
We kid.
Brian Wilson, you're great. Your daughter's a little big, but...
Well, he's got two of them. The other one is... what do you call it? The other one's not bad. Well, Wilson Phillips. There's two Wilsons and one Phillips.
That was a backwards insult right there. Backdoor insult. The other one's not bad.
The one was in Playboy.
The Grammy. You know who was good last night? I don't have the clip, but it was, what's her head? The lesbian chick. Sung Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge. Who has breast cancer, apparently.
Right.
You want to maybe poke some fun at
No, I'm not poking fun.
Make
I'm not
fun of her bald head.
But I didn't know this, and I watched, you know, her come on stage, and I was like, ooh, Billy Corgan's here, everybody.
Well, you kind of did just making fun of her, so that's okay.
But no, she was great. I got to tell you, she sang Janis Joplin, and that's Janis Joplin. You can't sing Janis Joplin and be good at it. And she was good. She did a cover of one of her songs, and it was good.
I saw it. I said, look, she's doing the whole Sinead O'Connor thing.
Where's the Pope picture?
Yeah. And then
she was good last night. And
well, hey, Janis Joplin is not the easiest person to cover.
No, not at all. And then she did a great job. And apparently, good news, everybody. She got rid of the cancer. She beat it.
Right.
She had breast cancer.
Good for her. Well, I saw it, like, her eyebrows were growing back. So
yeah,
you know.
So
that's always the first sign.
John Mayer won for Song of the Year.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I don't know what song he like.
Daughters,
I'm really
believe.
Proud
Daughters.
To be a musician, and I guess specifically tonight a songwriter. And I want to thank, a bunch of people who told me this song was good for people to hear when I said it probably wasn't. Charlie Walk, Columbia Records, Don Einar, Will Botwin, Michelle Anthony, Greg Latiman. It's still not the right choice of a single, but this is nice to have. I want to thank my family, my mom and dad, Carl and Ben, and dedicate this to my grandmother, who had an awesome daughter named my mom. Thank you very, very much.
So there you go, John Mayer, good guy. I actually watched. He's a funny dude. He had a show on VH1.
Yeah,
just like a half hour
John
special.
Mayer show,
or something.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
He's a
he was
funny
on,
guy.
Chappelle show. He did a good job.
Yeah.
Horrible voice. I can't stand it.
Usually I don't like musicians who try to be funny all the time and stuff, but this guy's funny.
Right.
He's a funny
like
dude.
He's like asleep or when he sings or something.
Yeah. He puts on a voice when he sings.
Like
he
did a shot of rosin beforehand.
It looks like he does an impression.
Yeah.
When he sings.
I don't think it. It's not really my thing. But
yeah.
Funny guy. Probably a nice guy, too.
U2 won for something. I do great lead-ins.
Does the Lions want to say anything? Larry, you want
this
to say
one goes anything? Out to the bastard that married my mama.
Thank you. Larry Mullen Jr.
All right, whatever. You too. The big winner last night was Ray Charles. And as we all know, Ray Charles is dead.
Yes.
So there you go.
So
congratulations to Ray Charles.
He couldn't be there to accept the awards.
You know, actually, Junior gets Ray Charles and the other blind guy. Why can't I remember
Stevie Wonder?
Stevie Wonder. He gets them mixed up, yeah.
Always. Yeah. Well, how about this? Stevie Wonder's alive.
Yeah.
Ray Charles is dead.
All right.
There you go.
Stevie Wonder's still alive?
Yes. He was on the show last night.
I didn't watch the show.
Oh.
I told you I hate music.
I don't get Stevie Wonder. I know he's a blind guy and stuff, and he sings music, but, like, his music is horrible. I just don't get why he's good.
At one point in time, he was very good.
No, but I've seen the old footage of when he was the hot commodity, right. And I was just like, what?
Really?
A blind guy that can play piano. Is that gimmick here?
No.
His music.
Which is the one that that was performing for the president and the president waved to? Was that Stevie Wonder? Was that Stevie Wonder or was that Ray Charles?
Oh my God! I don't know.
You never saw that clip?
No, that's funny.
Oh, he was coming up on stage and he's with his daughters and his wife and he's like, he waves at the guy.
Was it George W.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can't tell right now, but I'm waving.
Yeah. I just waved to you, Stevie.
Everybody was like, wow.
Stevie, I'm waving. Wave back, please.
Really, you stupid.
Yeah.
Maybe he's waving to the kids. I don't know.
Yeah. Stevie Wonder. I don't get why he's good.
You mean you don't listen to Superstitious and think that's good?
Nope. Sorry. Ray Charles, on the other hand, I like Ray Charles. I liked his music because it had feeling. Stevie Wonder don't have feeling.
Sure it does.
Can't feel nothing.
I got to disagree with you there. Stevie Wonder's old stuff was good. His stuff in the 60s and 70s was good.
Ray Charles was a big winner last
night. When he started doing Ebony and Ivory, that's when I lost it.
Ray Charles won like 8, 9, or like 10 times or something last night.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah. I guess if you die, you can win a lot of stuff.
Yeah, how about that? Like, you couldn't have hooked him up last year when he was still alive?
Yeah, Jesus. Hook the guy up.
Who accepted on his behalf? Please don't say Jamie Foxx.
No, it was his manager. Uh-huh. You know the guy from the movie? The good-looking guy? The manager from the movie? You ever see movie Ray?
No.
I actually saw that movie. 3 hours. Bad movie, but Jamie Foxx is really good in it.
Is he going to win the Oscar?
He's going to win the Oscar. But guess what, Jamie? You got to learn to shut up and stop showing your face around every place. Because everywhere he goes, he's doing Ray Charles. He's doing the impression when he gets on stage and he's singing. He's singing now. He was singing with Alicia Keys last night.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Come on, Jamie Foxx.
He's a triple threat.
He's getting as much publicity out of this as he can. Because Booty Call 2 is right around the corner.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx is getting a little annoying with the old. We get it. You were good in the movie. We get it.
Yeah, I saw him on MTV. He was doing the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, and he's trying to teach these like 15-year-old kids about Ray Charles, and they don't care.
They don't care.
You know, they're like, do something funny, and he's going on and on about Ray Charles.
Give me a fart joke.
I seen him on Leno, and he did this whole big spiel like about meeting Denzel Washington when he was younger and all that stuff, and then he won the SAG award like that Sunday night,
right?
And he did the exact same story he told on Leno. He told on stage, and I was just like, what a dick.
What a dick. Recycling material.
Like, what a dick. Come up with something new.
You know, he does actually a really good Pete Diddy impersonation.
Yeah, his stand-up, you ever see Jamie Foxx stand-up? It's very good. Yeah. It's like Chris Rock.
I saw the one he did on HBO, which was funny. I see him on Showtime all the time, and I think he sucks. But the one that hour, especially on HBO, where he did the Pete Diddy thing, that was real funny.
Yeah.
He said Pete Diddy wanted to whoop his ass because he was talking about J-Lo.
Yeah, but now he's like a singer, and
he's triple threat.
He's doing the Ray Charles singer. Yeah, Ray Charles was good. We know he was good. You don't have to tell us every time. Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, every time these actors do these pieces, they go on and they all of a sudden they become experts about that person.
He's kind of like Kanye West now that he's becoming really popular and he thinks he's the most important person in the world.
Right. But you know, like when every time they do these like biopics, you know, these movie biographies, whoever plays like Madonna when she played Eva Peron, she went on all the shows and was spouting on about her and like she was an expert or something. It's like, you're not an expert. You did a movie.
Yeah.
You read a script.
Yeah.
Sure, you have to learn how to play him, but come on, you know. Ugh. Enough already.
Yeah, so the Grammys, you know, the Grammys are a waste of time. You know why it's a waste of time? Because everybody gets one.
Yeah, sooner or later. Didn't we get a Grammy?
It's like we won one a couple of years ago. Whack-a-whack. Right. Yeah, it's like everybody makes the cut.
Yeah.
You know, if you're nominated, you get some sort of, like, off-camera award, you know? So, screw the Grammys. I think the only good award show that actually means something is the Oscars, and I don't know why.
I think Chuck D from Public Enemy said it best when he says, who gives an F about a goddamn Grammy?
Right.
You're listening to the best of LunaticRadio.com.
Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus! Bring the motherfucking ruckus!
We suck.
So I said my brother Kev, my brother Fat Kev, who speaks in third person, he gave us some drunk calls. Actually, the first one I have is me. Okay. Because I called the show, because no one else does. So I left my own drunk call,
okay,
because Kev was with me.
Okay.
So we'll play that one now.
Yeah, it's me. It's my own show. I'm leaving a voice message. I'm here with Kev, and he just told me, Fat Kev, everybody, a.k.a. Fat Kev. Kev, the guy who speaks in third person, told me. Listen, Kev don't like how you talk about Kev. Kev plays golf very, very well. Kev liked to have his penis touched a few times. Kev is hammered. Oh, my God. All right, fuck it. We're here on Long Island getting hammered, and I'm drunk, and I think we're taking a taxi home, and the girls on Long Island really do suck. So let's just end this conversation by telling you all that I love you, and I want to have sex with each and every one of you. Okay? Talk later. Bye.
Yeah, so there was Kev. It was me actually giving a drunk call, and Kev interrupted me by saying, Kev's a great golfer. Kev says Kev's good at golf.
Right. Kev's like to have his penis tucked.
Heck yeah. So here's Kev, I believe later that evening, leaving us another drunk call.
Yo, I like fucking huge penis. I like to take it in the back of my throat, gargle it a little bit, fucking, oh my God, it takes my tonsils. Holy shit, dude. Ronnie Bean is fucking huge cock. It's so fucking good. Wow, dude, it feels so good on my back of my tonsils. It's so good. I got these bitches, these fucking whores. I got a whole bunch of whores that want to fucking touch your balls. Ronnie Bean, oh my God, these want to touch your balls. Oh shit, her fucking huge testicles want to touch your balls. Dude,
her huge testicles want to touch your balls.
Terrible. Aaron was sucking Joey T's cock the other day. I saw that. We were out there fucking daddy. Kieran fucking bent over and sucked Joey T's cock. So that proves that Kieran is a fucking gay motherfucker. See, maybe you just pass that on for your friend. Yeah, you tell me just hold for yourself. Alright? Hopefully I'll talk to you a little bit later. Alright, buddy, later.
There is my brother Kevin, everybody. Hammered out of his mind. Talking about...
Oh my God. That is the single funniest drunk call I've ever heard.
It gets better because he left another one.
Dude, it like never stops.
Do you want to hear this one again and then listen to the other one?
No, go with the next one.
All right, this is Kev at the end of the night.
Yo, what's up? It's Fat Kev. He just tried to fucking hook up some bitches. Fucking bar. Didn't happen, but he puked on the side of the road. Fat Kev puked. Did a great job of it, too. I'm a very, very good puker. Way to go, Kev. You know, Kieran told me I couldn't puke, but I did a very fucking good job. You know, very good job. But hopefully I'm going to bang one of these bitches I met there because they like guys who puke.
We're all laughing at this.
Fat Ron is fat. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, my God. My brother is insane, dude. If you didn't believe us that he spoke in third person, as Ronnie Bean just dying from laughing.
Oh, my God.
He does. Kev speaks in third person.
That is too funny. That's a funny... Those are the funniest drunk calls I ever heard. By far.
They are. I'm kind of biased because it's my brother.
Oh, no, dude. Those are funny. Those are hilarious. I'm dying over here. Dying. Now, just a little sidebar for the listeners.
He's crying. Ronnie's crying.
Ronnie Beans is getting over a cold, right? And I'm, you know, like where you cough and you got all the shit that's in your chest and everything. So every time I laugh, I cough my brains out. Well, I'm dying over here. I'm crying. I'm having a hard time breathing. Oh, my God. I just coughed up something that had like a dog collar on it. Oh. Dude, I just coughed up like schmegma out of my lungs that literally got out of here and started walking a Doberman.
Yeah, it's a fat Kev. I guess it's very funny drunk. I hope it translates for the listeners because we hang out with him every day and we know his brand of humor.
I know your brother's funny when he's drunk, but that takes a cake. That was hilarious.
I think the second phone call was the best one.
Oh, God.
Can we play just one more? I know the people want to hear the second phone call. All right, we'll play that one.
Yo, what's up? It's Fat Kev. He just tried to fucking hook up some bitches. Fucking
no,
fuck.
That's not it. It's this one.
Yo, I like fucking huge penis. I like to take it in the back of my throat, goggle it a little bit, fucking, oh my God, it takes my tonsils. Holy shit, dude. Ronnie Beans is fucking huge cock. It's so fucking good. Wow, dude, it feels so good on my back of my tonsils. It's so good. I got these bitches, these fucking whores. I got a whole bunch of whores that want to fucking touch your balls. Ronnie Beans, oh my God, these want to touch your balls. Oh, shit, her fucking huge testicles want to touch your balls. It was terrible. Kieran was sucking Joey T's cock the other day. I saw that. We were out in the fucking chatty. Kieran fucking bent over and sucked Joey T's cock. So that proves that Kieran is a fucking gay motherfucker. See, maybe you just better turn off for your friends. Hey, you tell me just hold for yourself. All right? Hopefully I'll talk to you a little bit later. All right, buddy? Later.
Of course, Lisa is Kev's roommate, and Joey C's one of the buddies who hangs out with the crew here.
Oh, my God.
And I did not touch his penis. I don't know what he's talking about.
You're listening to a future Marconi Award winner.
Any chick that calls me bite-size and wants to beat me up, I'm totally into.
LunaticRadio.com show.
This is Joanna Bowie of PhoneSexCall.net, and you're listening to the LunaticRadio.com show.
It's LunaticRadio.com.
Yeah, Joanna Bowie, everybody. PhoneSexCall.net. Wow. Yowza. Word them up. It's LunaticRadio.com show. Back from break. Emails at the show at LunaticRadio.com, everybody. You're witnessing the 4th anniversary of the LunaticRadio.com show. Joined in studio today by Junior, the man, the myth, the legend.
That's right, the legend. I like that.
He's a half a retard. Ow!
The roast is over, jackass.
Huh? Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I want to say happy birthday shout out to the hottest chick in my top 5. So that would mean she was number 1. I want to say happy 32nd birthday to Alyssa Milano, everybody. Very hot piece of ass. Turned 32 yesterday.
Samantha Maselli.
I'm kind of disappointed yesterday was her birthday. Let's stop her moaning for a second. Because she would have showed up at the gala last night if she...
didn't have prior engagements.
Right, it was her birthday. She was probably out banging 5 guys. So Alyssa Milano, 32, everybody. Word them up. Congratulations to Alyssa Milano for making it to 32. Because some days I feel like I'm not going to make it that far.
I get that feeling, too.
Anyway, it's the 4th anniversary of the LunaticRadio.com show. I don't know why. I can't believe we made 4 years. Yes. We had like a band there last night too. I forgot to mention. Those guys were great.
They were good.
I forget their names, but they were good.
The Mother Effers. They were good.
Oh, they were the Mother Effers.
Yeah, they were good.
Good one, Junior. Called them the Mother Effers.
That's what they were. It was on the drum.
Oh, all right. I didn't notice. I don't notice much.
It wasn't abbreviated.
I was being called gay so much last night, I was...
That you just had to go out and suck some kid?
Yeah. I felt like I had to. I felt like it was my job. I had to do it.
Oh, you friggin'
queen. God damn it. So let's get back into the roast speeches. Ronnie Beans gave us a nice speech last night. And let's just cut the music here. And, I don't know. It's just Ronnie Beans, man. The guy's a legend. He was sitting on the dais table eating burgers the whole time. And when it was time to give a speech, he gave a speech. And this is what he had to say, everybody, about the LunaticRadio.com show.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad to see all the lovely people up here on the dais. Kevin James from, what's the show is he on?
King and Queens.
Kevin James from the King and Queens, everybody. You fat f***. Can't believe that guy got a show, and we're still stuck on internet radio. And hey, Natalie Portman's up here. Hey, Natalie, after the show, I'll show you the dark side. You know what I'm saying? Eminem's here. He took time out from beating up his girlfriend to come to the show tonight. Agreed. All right, on to the roast. I'm going to get to the roast. Don't worry about it. Another year, another roast. I'm starting to feel like this is my fifth year in college. You know, like how many more years am I going to be here? This show, it's like a big turd. No matter how many bells and whistles and cherry pie violations and sound effects there are, it's still a big turd. Let me start with Kieran. I all know we all joke about him being gay, but I'm starting to wonder, is he ever going to get laid? I'm thinking Kieran getting laid is about as likely as me running a marathon or Junior spelling marathon. Kieran's also broke. He's 30 cents short of a quarter. What little money he has is spent on dip, coffee, bad haircuts, and phone sex. That being said, don't you think Kieran would be out aggressively promoting Lunatic Radio so maybe we could get paid to do this? Nope. He still said the show is not good enough. The only thing not good about this show is you're stumbling over simple words like the and anything over two syllables, and your stunningly limited vocabulary. Don't tell me you can't find a job in radio somewhere doing something. How about reading the traffic report, or the weather, or preaching the wonders of abstinence? I think the real reason Kieran voted for John Kerry was he was against banning gay marriage. Someday, Kieran, you'll find that special someone. Just keep plugging away, little trooper. And Junior. I like having Junior around. He's my that guy example. You know where you say, my life sucks, but at least I'm not that guy? Plus, he doesn't interrupt me like some former newscasters who used to be on the show and then moved down south with his wife and kids who shall remain nameless, not Nikki the Bone. Junior gives this show a certain frat boy quality to it, which is pretty ironic considering the closest Junior ever got to higher education is when he went to shop class Stone. And then there's Rocky. I can't pick on our CEO too much because he might pull the plug on the show, and he laughs at all my jokes, even the bad ones. But sometimes I get the feeling he'd let me bang his girlfriend, but only if he got the watch. In closing, I still have no idea why I lend my considerable comedic talents to this train wreck of a show. It's tantamount to hanging a Picasso in someone's garage. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go. Kieran's waving at me frantically. What's that you say? We got another affiliate who's not going to pass anything and brings our total number of listeners to 9? Great. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I hate you all. Go f*** yourselves.
Yeah, Ronnie Beans, everybody, last night at the big gala. A lot of things to say about us. Of course, ripping on my lack of brain power, I guess. Anyway, joining us on the phone is the man in question, Ronnie Beans, everybody. Welcome to the LunaticRadio.com. Ronnie!
Yo!
What up, player?
What up, player?
Yeah, had a good time last night, apparently, huh?
Yeah,
I think I had too good of a time. I'm laid up right now.
Yeah, I'm a little hungover myself.
Yeah, I was like, God, man, I can't even make it to the show tonight. I'm all schwacked out.
Yeah, God damn. Who'd you end up going home with? Because I struck out.
Well, actually, believe it or not, I left with, you know that dude from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, you know, the not Keanu Reeves?
I don't know his name, but I know who you're talking about.
That guy, I kept calling him Bill all night.
Yeah.
But me and him left, we went to Benihana.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some teriyaki stir fry.
Nice. That's a good place. Last time I went there, I saw two boy band members. That's a good joint. So you left with a guy from Bill and Ted's who's not Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, I just kept calling him Bill. I don't know what his real name is.
Wonder where that guy lives. Probably in a phone booth, huh?
Yeah, well, he got off in Amityville.
Yeah, so your speech was great. I mean, the reaction to it was pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and so...
Hey, Junior, did you like my two little jokes about you?
Yeah, they were nice. I don't know what makes you think I can't friggin' spell, but we'll get into that when you get back into the studio.
No, it's not that you can't spell. It's just, you know, your lack of higher brain function is that I was picking on.
Yeah. So, Ronnie, do you have any other comments about the 4th anniversary of the LunaticRadio.com show? Can you believe it that we made it this far?
No, you know, I figured by now we'd be getting paid to do this.
Yeah, I mentioned that in my speech.
Yeah, or that either we would be getting paid or we would have just stopped doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm amazed at our resiliency.
Yeah.
You know, because most of us usually, if things don't work out right away, we just quit.
I'm surprised we made it this far without getting any compensation for our work, but
yeah.
But it was a fun time last night, and it sounds like you had a good time with Ted or whatever his name is.
Bill,
right. Whatever one it is.
We were going to go out looking for some girls, but, you know, unfortunately, none of the girls we ran into ever saw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah.
So that was kind of hard to explain to him, you know, that he was a movie star at one point in time, and now he had 10 bucks.
I noticed that on the dais you were eating a lot of cheeseburgers.
Well, they were free.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Come on.
White Castle actually, I just said,
hey, I might as well fill up while I'm here.
Yeah. Well, White Castle sponsored the event. It was very nice of them to do that.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but I put a couple in my pockets. For later, you know?
Right, on the train ride home.
Yeah, you know, you never know. You get a little hungry, you know? I mean, the stupid thing was what made us think that there would be, like, hot chicks hanging out at Benihana. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Seemed like a good idea at the time, but it just was a disaster.
There was a bunch of fine-looking broads in the audience. I don't know. I'm the only guy that can strike out with an audience filled with hot women like that, but
right.
I'm surprised you didn't go home with anybody, Ronnie.
Well, what happened? I went over to Natalie Portman and tried talking to her, but she maced me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of, you know, left my eyes all red and everything, and, you know, it put a capper on the night, you know?
You know, she, you should have asked her, because she's going to be naked in a movie coming out soon, and you should have asked her, you know, can I go home and batch to your photos?
Well, you know what, I said that she plays a stripper in that movie.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, hey, you know, how about, you know, you come over and we'll do some lap dances and stuff like that. And she tried to walk away, and I thought maybe she didn't hear me. So I walked over and grabbed her, and that's when she maced me.
Nice. So, Ronnie, had a good time last night.
I had a good time. I just, you know, I wish I had some money so I could tip the waitresses, because they kept bringing me drinks all night.
Word them up.
I had to avoid them later in the night because they were looking for tips and stuff, and I didn't have any money.
I drank too much Jameson last night.
I spent my only $100 on a lap dance from the shoeshine girl.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's nice, Ronnie.
She was hot, you know, like, if you didn't look at her.
Well, anyway, we got to let you go because we got a ton of speeches to freaking play on the show, as you know.
Alrighty.
And
I'll see you next week.
Yeah, good job last night, buddy.
Alright, you too.
Merry Christmas if I don't see you. Merry Christmas. Alright, later. Ronnie Beans, everybody, from work. Had a good time last night, apparently, with Bill from Bill and Ted's. At a strip club or something. I don't know what he did.
Very
what
nice.
Do you say? You went to Benihana's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that joint over there. In the, yeah. I went there once. I saw the guy from Naughty by Nature there, too. Not Tretch, the other one. The one that looks like Daryl Strawberry shrunken down?
I don't know. I don't know his name.
Anyway, let's press on with the LunaticRadio.com roast that took place last night in an undisclosed location in New York City. All right, people. We're going to take a look at Junior's roast. Very
vulgar.
Vulgar. And this is what Junior had to say last night at the big gala.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to be here. This is my first LunaticRadio.com roast, so bear with me. And if you motherfuckers don't like it, that's too bad. See, we got a celebrity-packed audience today. I see Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are here, no doubt promoting their new movie. It's a sequel to Stuck on You. It's called Suck on You. And, pretty much all it is Ben and Matt go down on each other. It's pretty much a documentary. Oh, I see Martha Stewart made it. Hey, that's nice. I didn't think it was possible for Martha to look more like a dyke, but seeing her all decked out in her prison butch really does the job. Now on to the goody-good stuff. Let's talk about Kieran McCann, the creator of LunaticRadio.com, and I use the term creator very loosely. Everybody likes to kid around and say that Kieran's gay. I don't buy all that. Although I do know that when we were younger and we used to play spin the bottle with the girls in the neighborhood, for some reason, when it was Kieran's turn, he used to stick the bottle up his ass. What do you think will happen first? Kieran gets laid or f***ing Armageddon? Although Kieran's a great producer, I don't know if we could have had a shittier bit than the Teach for T-shirt. That hit the dumper faster than Kieran hits Rocket's dumper after the show. Kieran was so excited when Craig from Rockland contacted about being an affiliate for his show until I had to point out to him that it was Rockland, not Cockland. Ronnie Beans, big Ronnie Beans. Ronnie Beans, he's a big boy. So big, in fact, that every Monday night he shows up for the show. Me and Kieran have to tell him if his shoes match. Watching Ronnie watch baseball is torture. He sweat more in Game 4 between the Yankees and the Red Sox than Kunta Kinte did on the f***ing ride over from Africa. Oh, easy, Ronnie, easy. Don't choke on that White Castle big guy. Rocket. I don't know Rocket that well, but calling Rocket a f***ing CEO is like calling Kieran Opie and Anthony. The only thing Rocket's in charge of is making sure my f***ing ball bag stays warm throughout the whole show. Hey, Rocket, I hear you changed the name of your band. That's good. So now it'll take people a little longer to figure out it's still the same three fudge packers just in different f***ing wrapping. Ah, I see that Ted Stryker neglected to mention me in his little roast speech. I guess I didn't make a f***ing impression on you, you f***ing ball bag. Hey, next time you're up in New York, I got something you could f***ing strike on, dick. All right, kids, that's enough for me. I'm out. I hope you enjoyed my s***, and if you didn't, f*** all. Later, bitches.
Junior, everybody. The most offensive speech of the night.
Thank you. I like to keep it real.
I'm surprised you and Ted Stryker didn't go to blows after
that. I'm just kidding. He knows I'm just kidding. It's all for fun.
All for fun. The roasty. No holds barred when you do a roast.
Nice.
I didn't notice. I didn't see Matt and Ben there.
Oh, they were there. They were there.
I didn't see them.
Probably, well, you know what? When you were up on the stage, they were down underneath. They were under the table each other. So you probably,
right.
Yeah, I noticed that. When they
I forgot that.
They were each other. So
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
It's going to be a good movie, though. Suck on You. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Suck on You. Oh, man. That was a good speech, Junior. Very, very nice. Rocket, our CEO. We took a lot of...
A lot of
shots. I gave him a couple shots, too. But he gave a speech last night. Very quick. Short and to the point. You know, Rocket's not... You know, Rocket's like a behind-the-scenes guy, you know?
He's not very...
He's not used to being in front of an audience.
I know.
Especially with hot chicks. He kind of lost himself.
Yeah, did you see him? He was sweating his balls off. He looked very nervous.
Yeah, so he, like... I guess when Rocket gets nervous, he just starts throwing insults at girls. Yeah. And, like, telling them what he actually wants to do to them.
Right,
so,
right.
Rocket gave his speech last night, and this is what he had to say, everybody.
Hi, everybody. First, let me start off by saying it's great to be here, but I don't plan on staying long because I have to get home to watch this week's episode of Lost at IT Vote. Well, yeah, let me say it's great to see so many celebrities out tonight. I had the opportunity to teach some things to some of our stars, if you believe it or not. I got to teach Paris Hilton what a Tony Danza is. Who's the boss, you dirty effing bitch? Kristen Dunst. How you doing, baby? I gave her a quick geography lesson. I was able to show her what Hawaii looks like on her face. Quack, quack. And Lindsay Lohan. How you doing over there? Being able to teach her, you know, what the shocker is. Bazing! But enough about me sounding like a normal heterosexual male. I'm talking about someone who's anything but that. Kylie. I mean, Kieran. From the world-famous LunaticRadio.com show. Well, what can I say? If it wasn't for him, the show would probably be good. Nah, he knows what he's doing with this show, and he's heading in the right direction. You really need a lot of free time to do what he does. It enables him to put in countless hours on Friday and Saturday nights, just trying to find new sound clips of chicks having orgasm. You know, the closest thing to the real thing for him. But seriously, he is awesome to work with, and he knows his stuff. He is Lunatic Radio, and without him, it's nothing. Just one last thing about Karen. He owes me about $5,000 plus interest. Just a little something about Ronnie. Well, a little something to Ronnie would be about 30 White Castle cheeseburgers, 2 bags of Doritos, a box of Yodels, and a can of chili to wash it all down. But to put food aside, which is hard for Ronnie to do, he's a great personality on the air, a freaking genius in my book, and if it wasn't for him, the show would have a lot of dead air. As for Junior, well, we haven't been in the studio together too much. All I have to say is, stay out of my studio seat. And I am above you, and I can simply show you the door. Yeah, but Junior is great on the show, and I can see in the immediate future a beer-filled show where him and I collectively destroy the broadcasting future of Kieran. Well, that's all I had to say. Short and to the point. Big ups to the message board vets like Stryker, Jim, newcomers like Maximus and Frost, and of course, Connie for finding time between the 32 kids. 33 now. 34. All right. And everyone else on the board for making a rocking site. It's great to see a place where a bunch of chronic masturbators can get together and have some fun. All right, the show sucks. I'm going to cut the power to the show now. Obey your CEO. And by the way, my band is playing January 8th in West Babylon on Long Island. You knew I was going to get a band plug in, Deke. Bring your A game. I'm out.
Word up. Rocket, everybody, from the gala last night.
Our CEO.
CEO. Handed himself like a gentleman, telling telling all the chicks he's going to bash in their faces and
very,
stuff.
Very, right? Very respectable. Very respectable.
Very professional. Handles himself with all sorts of class.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Talks about all these hot chicks in the audience, then he leaves with freaking Boy George.
I don't understand that.
I don't get it.
We got to check Rocket's gay card.
Yeah, his heterosexual card. He might have a few gay holes punched.
Right. That was funny, though. Nice of him to slip in the band plug, too, you dick.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to have words with him about that, but that's fine. He's got big news, actually, with the big Fuse band. And coming up in January, we're all going to... Some news coming out of the camp that's going to shock everybody with Fuse.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Word them up. So, let's do a break. I also got some news about a band that I went to see on Friday that I want to talk about. Very nice. Very good stuff. So, stick around. More LunaticRadio.com. I still have to play my speech. We got some comments from Jim at YourOnLive.com and a whole lot more on the LunaticRadio.com show, so stick around.
You're listening to the best.
Word them up. A lot to get to on today's show. Not really, but I like to say that at the top of the show to get people interested.
Or the worst of LunaticRadio.com.
There's a secret society in the country club in Brookline.
Mm-hmm. Is that right next door to Brooklyn?
No, I don't know where it is, but they have installed a security camera to flush out the serial pooper.
Nice.
Who shut down the swimming pool 4 times last summer. And they call it the poop cam.
Oh,
Oh my god! It's the funniest thing I ever heard.
Yo, man, if you ass in the pool, it's effed up.
Oh my god! That's the best.
How can you ass in a pool, man? You assed in a pool?
No. That's false. I dooted outside the pool.
You could have dooted in the pool, though.
And I wiped my ass in the pool.
What, did you do it in a skimmer?
No, I do it in the bushes.
You in the bushes and do it, and then what? We clean your ass in the pool?
Not with the pool cover.
You clean your ass with the pool cover?
Yeah. He could have left a floater in the pool. That's right.
I want the entire pool scrub sterilized and disinfected.
Give me one more duty.
All right, one more time. One more time. Just for Nick, get a bone.
That's the best.
The pool had to be drained, cleaned, blasted with chemicals, and refilled four times. A real pain. Not many members are around in the summer, so it's a nice place to bring the kids. Having the pool closed four times was a problem. One of the offending deposits occurred during a swim meet, leading the club's cheeses to believe it was a childish prank. But because the pooper is still on the loose, Big Brother will be watching this summer. You got Bill Murray going, it's just a baby Ruth.
I want the entire pool scrub sterilized and disinfected.
And he bites into it. That's the best. You know, there was a similar thing that happened at a local school around here.
Yeah.
They called him the Mad Bomber. And he would leave duties in the stairwells of the school.
Really?
Yeah.
Just ass on the step.
Yeah.
Oh. When you have to go, you have to go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to the best of LunaticRadio.com.
It is the Christmas season. It's 5 days. How many more days left till Christmas?
Five.
And Junior and I on the LunaticRadio.com show have yet to go Christmas shopping.
Yeah, we're going
to
do that this week, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Junior and I are going to get all bundled up, head on out on Wednesday morning.
Why are you going to put a gay spin on it?
Because it's gay.
It is
gay. Because we're going shopping together.
It is gay. Well, that's quick because we shop the same way. We're like, yeah. I look at a sweater. I'm like, yeah, that'll look good on my mom. Does it fit her? Who gives a? We'll just go and get it. I don't care.
I gotta stop cursing.
Yeah.
Cursing, sorry.
So we're gonna get all bundled up and we're gonna hop in the vehicle, grab some cup of joe on the way out. Go to the outlets where there's gonna be complaining kids that we wanna shoot.
Oh, you're gonna see a side of me you've never seen.
Oh, I thought I had two Kenny G clips. What the hell's going on?
When I punt this little kid across the store.
Ah, here we go. This is better. Are you ready? Don't you love Christmas, Junior?
No, I friggin' hate it.
Nestled by the fire.
Oh, shut up!
With your father.
My father, yeah.
Get together with the family again. Your brother kicks the crap out of you.
We already had Christmas.
Christmas is over.
Don't you find it a burden?
Christmas?
Yeah.
I find nothing a burden around the holiday season.
Who are you right now?
Kylie. My alter ego. I'm going to get together with my partner, Steph, for the holiday season. Yeah. I'm going to bend him over the fire and give him a little Jack Frost up the ass.
Oh, God. God, I hope my family's listening to this.
Kylie loves the Christmas season. You never know, you might be going shopping with Kylie on Wednesday morning.
If Kylie wakes up Wednesday, shop on your own. You could just call me and be like, nah. Dude, it's Kylie. I'm not coming. Because if I come, I'm going to come.
Oh, Kylie will be coming. Come Christmas time.
You're a friggin' faggot.
my present to my boyfriend, Steph. From Hoboken. Yeah. I got him some Magnum condoms. He's got a real big one.
This is seriously scaring me right now.
You know what it is?
I'm getting like icky. Like, I feel dirty.
Oh, the sounds of the holiday season. As Kylie and Steph nestle together by the fire with some eggnog.
While they rock the bowls.
Oh, how I love Kenny G. That's one faggot I like to bang.
You'd like to blow his flute? This kid is friggin' lost his mind right now. This kid is a complete friggin' psycho. You have completely lost your mind.
Oh, how I love.
Stop! You're Christian. Friggin' scaring me.
I'm kidding. Come on, I'm just doing a little wacky bit.
I think that roast seriously effed up your head.
Well, what can he do when he'd be called gay for an hour?
You're listening to Lunatic Radio.
Oh, Nick and Bonus placed himself in pie.
Bitch pie.
Banged in the pie.
Now back to the show.
Come on, Barry. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, what up, everybody? It's the LunaticRadio.com show. Back from break. Emails at the show, LunaticRadio.com. Drunk call hotline, 206-202-LOON. That's 206-202-5666. Everybody, hit us up. Word them up. I'm your host, Kim McCann. Alongside me today, Full House, Ronnie Beans, and Rocket CEO. Hey, everybody. Let's cut right to it because we've got the man, the myth, the legend on the run.
He's here.
He's on the line, everybody. Here. Let's bring in Dane Cook. I know he doesn't have much time, so let's just bring him right in. Hey, Dane, how you doing, man?
What do you say, guys?
Yeah, what's going on, playa?
Back in 1993, I went to a party and somebody took a crap on the coat. I feel like I'm on Storytellers right now. It's like, let me tell the stories of behind the bits, but that's where that came from. 93, somebody actually, and we'll never know to this day who did it. Nobody would fess up, but somebody took a crap on the coat.
Dude, that is one of my favorite tracks.
I take it whoever it is didn't like the party.
No, it was not me. To this day, everybody thinks it's me. They're like, hey, you're talking about it in your act. Obviously, it's you who did it. But no, it is not me.
See, I was led to believe that. I thought you were the coat shitter.
I love that bit because it's just so random, you know? It's just like out of nowhere. Somebody shit on the fucking coats.
That's my favorite kind of comedy right there. I love random... Just, you know, you don't know where it's coming from or why it's happening. That's my favorite funny moments that happen, those random what-the-fuck moments.
Yeah, stuff that just makes no sense. That stuff that's just funny to me.
Well, the thing is, most people wouldn't admit that they find that stuff funny, but that's the kind of stuff that, like, while you're sitting at home in your underwear, eating a bowl of kettle corn, you're just giggling your ass off on your couch as you watch somebody talk about shit on a coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after, you know, you said, all right, somebody shit on the coats, that's fucked up, but that's funny.
And then the idea of not only did somebody shit on the coats, but then the idea of, you know what, if I were the person to facilitate shitting on the coats, then to have like a follow-up of like wanting to kind of let people know that I may or may not have defecated on your coats and apparel. That moment where you lean in and you go, who would do that? And kind of keep everybody wondering, right. Was that you who shit on my said coat?
Yeah. And once you find out that your coat wasn't the one that got shit on, then it's really funny.
It's those moments that you're like, I'm glad I was at the bottom of the pile.
That's right. Yeah, here's to showing up early.
It pays to not be fashionably late.
Right. I'm glad I got here early.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That sucks for you, dickhead. Your coat's got shit on it.
Show up on time next time. You won't get the shit.
See, you teach lessons, Dane. Show up to parties early.
Lesson learned. I'm still trying to figure out that cashew thing, man.
Well, the cashew thing, in case people are not familiar, is where I talk in great depth about how one night I launched a cashew off my penis, much like a catapult. And people say, you know, again, this is very storytellers-ish, where did that bit come from? Because sometimes material, it takes the form of something a little different on stage, but, you know, the exact story is sometimes lost in the translation. I was actually in... in Florida in 99, and I was really bored in my hotel room. And I was going to jerk off, but I was like, you know what? I've jerked off like four times today already.
Oh.
And as I was getting ready to do it again, I just kind of lost I lost the enjoyment, but I still had like a raging, you know, baby maker. And so I was walking around my hotel room, and in every hotel room, as you know, there's a assorted nuts. And it just kind of came to me out of sheer boredom, and I said to myself, I wonder if I could launch one of these suckers off my hog. And sure enough, loaded that sucker up, pulled back, and first try, right into my gullet.
Wow. Good job.
Yep.
That was, I love that crap, dude.
My record, my record's 7 in a row before I went flaccid. I need a fluffer. Got you catapulted.
I guess that's where most of your material just comes from, just like daily crap. Like you're just chilling out on a couch and just something pops into your head. Is that the case?
You never know where material is going to come from. I mean, I don't really have a specific, you know, time or, you know, I don't really have a ritual for how material comes. It's just like, you know, sometimes you're just driving along and something hits you. It might not have anything to do with anything. One time I was driving through the city of Boston and I saw a homeless guy and girl making out. And they dropped all their stuff and they were just really hardcore making out. So I, you know, rolled my window down and I yelled, "Get a box!" And that ended up being in my act, you know, years later.
Yeah. Dude, we caught you on last week. Obviously, you got the movie out this week. You got Retaliation, which has been 10 weeks at the in number one, everybody. I don't know if people know this crap, right? They know that you are blowing up.
I don't think people really care. I think that people I think ultimately it's like it's one of those things where when we're talking about it right now, it's kind of like a nice, you know, it sounds good, but ultimately all that matters is funny or not funny.
Right.
You know, people come to a show. I've watched superstars get on stage after 10 minutes of, you've seen him in this movie. He owns a small country. He's this, he's that. You're going to love him. And then 5 minutes in, if that person is not delivering on their, you know, on their quest for, you know, fresh material, then the audience is kind of, you know, oh, this is lackluster. I mean, really, that's all that matters. The credits are great. It's like, you know, you feel very accomplished, and I do appreciate talking about him, but ultimately, come out to a show, and if you don't know me, don't listen to the credits. Let me just, let me show you what happens when you come into the venue.
Yeah. Oh, like, I just wanted to mention, I mean, we watched you on Comedy Central on that Insomniac tour, dude, and I was watching you, like, I guess a night before we thought you were going to come on the show, and I'm watching you, and you come out to a complete, like, standing ovation before Dane even spoke. It was like a freaking standing ovation. You killed, and at the end of the set, you, like, do the old Eddie Murphy thing. You just, like, drop the mic and leave stage, and standing ovation, and I'm watching the TV sitting in my freaking basement going, that guy cannot be on my show tomorrow.
And we lost him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dane. Thank you.
That was your cue to just hang up.
Yeah. Him dropping the mic is the phone hanging up.
Yeah. I'm calling to let you know that I will never do the show again.
Yes! All right. Yes! We made it! Dane is never coming back on. Thank you.
My attorney's drawing up papers that will preclude me. Basically, it says right in there, if I do the show again, it's the seventh sign.
Yeah, repent, repent.
Or not the apocalypse, the apodcalypse.
Oh!
The ipodcalypse.
We do suck, though. Let's just get that right out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff to ask you. I know we don't have much time, but...
Well, do me a favor. Continue to talk over each other, because I think that makes for great radio.
Oh, yeah.
We're the masters of that.
Yeah.
No, whatever you got, man. Hit me with your bullets.
Dude, you got any comments about Simon Says back in 1999? You started a movie with Dennis Rodman.
I could talk... Okay, let me tell you some highlights. So this movie comes along, and I'll tell you the story. And my agent calls me up, and he's like, I just got an offer for you to co-star in a movie that's going to be a big action movie with Mosh Diamante. And Mosh Diamante was the producer, and he's a huge international action producer. He worked with Van Damme on a couple of movies. And so I hear Mosh Diamante, and I'm a big, like, you know, I'm into a lot of, like, international action movies and stuff. I'm, like, really familiar with this guy. And he's like, do you want to do the movie? And he's really trying to get me all hyped up before he's even telling me who's in it. And I'm like, well, it sounds good. He's like, yeah, you'd be the co-star. They wanted to get Robert Downey Jr., but he couldn't do it because he can't leave the country due to insurance purposes. And I'm like, wow, okay, that's great. You know, I'm second choice after Robert. I'm like, who's the star? Who's it? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be filmed in Nice, France. You're going to be in France for a month. You're going to be living on the Mediterranean. And I'm like, oh, great. Who the fuck is in the movie? And they're like, it's going to be Dennis Rodman. And there was like this moment where I'm like, you know, acting with athletes, never a good idea. But I said to myself, okay, you know what, self, you know what, Dana, I'm gonna go over here because not only had I, you know, I really wanted to work with Mos Diamante, but I figured, you know what, I'm living in Nice. How bad could it be? I knew we were going to be making like a really good bad movie. Basically, I just had the time of my life over there. It was like a nonstop party because Rodman was like a huge star in France because he did another movie over there with Van Damme. And it was just kind of like one of those things where we'd be laughing on the set every day because we just knew we were making a good, bad movie.
And just having a good time. Just having a good time partying and who cares about the movie? Let's just drink and then go on set and do stuff.
I'm banging French chicks. I'm living on the Mediterranean Sea. I'm like, you know, Nice is gorgeous. I'm not a big fan of the French, but Nice is like, I mean, just an amazing, you know, just visually amazing place. So to be 22 years old and doing that, I mean, granted, it's like, you know, I can look at it now and it's like, you know, it's like my leprechaun. It'll never get any worse. but you know, what the hell, man? You know, it was my first movie, so would I do it again? No.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to ask you about that because I got a bunch of emails from people. Ask them about the Rodman movie.
Everybody sees it. I guess they air it all the time on cable, but it was just, honestly, it was a howl. And I was, you know, I was definitely in a position where that was going to pay my rent for a year. And so I took the initiative, and I went over there and I said I'm just gonna you know put my balls on the line here and have a good time. But you know, hey, that's what a career is, right? I mean, look at you guys.
Yeah, we're blowing up.
Every moment, our stock's going higher. Every moment,
all 20 listeners are glued to their sets right
wait,
now.
Wait, 21. There you go. Yes.
We were talking to Jim Florentine like a couple months ago about comedian groupies. And he told us that there is no such thing as a comedian groupie. There's no such thing as, like, when he goes and does a set, there's no such thing as him going to the bar after at the comedy club and having a girl come up to him and be like, hey, dude, let's go home and bang. But I got to imagine, because you have a following, you have a massive following of females, I got to imagine you have some groupies yourself.
I have a lot of respect for Jim, and he's a funny cat, but we definitely come from two different sides of this issue, because I have seen, in my theory, my hypothesis, some of the most beautiful women in the world certainly are the loneliest because guys are too intimidated to hit on them. Those girls, the hottest chicks I've ever met, the girls that I've dated, models that I've encountered, they love laughing. They love a guy with a sense of humor. It's more, even more than looks. And I mean, look, you know, doing stand-up comedy, any kind of performance, you look like a god because you can get up on stage and you can, you know, make people laugh and all that. But, you know, without stand-up comedy or without the gig, you're just another schmo on the street. You're not going to get laid like you could if you're a performer.
Right.
But if you can go up and make a girl laugh and she's hot and then you can confidently go up to her after the show, I mean, listen, man, there's definitely comedy groupies. I mean, I've got, you know, definitely great stories that, you know, well, I will never, ever forget. Someday when I'm married, my five kids are screaming. I just have to, like, sit here into the corner of my basement and think back to the summer of 95. And
it was like, yeah. Well, I wish we had time to hear some of those because those would be fun. I'm sure they would
oh,
be.
Man. There was some, oh, yeah. We'll definitely, look, I'll come back on the show and we'll, you know, we'll do part two, which is we'll talk about some of the groupie stories.
Yeah, that'd be great, dude. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go because I know you got to do some other stuff. Is there anything you specifically want to plug?
I'm just letting people know, man. You know, obviously Retaliation has been just a real success story for me. And after 15 years of doing stand-up comedy, I'm on the map, and it's because, you know, my fans have been so supportive. And every day it seems like new people are finding the album. So, you know, for anybody listening who's like, who the F is this? Just check out danecook.com.
Of course.
And, you know, you can listen to clips, check out the videos, and then, you know, grab the CD or come out, at least come out to a show.
Word up. I actually went and saw your movie just before the broadcast tonight, and you did a good job, even though I feel like they left you on the cutting room floor because you weren't in waiting too much, but you did a great job, and I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, I had a good time doing it, and it was one of those things where we did it a couple of years ago, shot it actually down in New Orleans, and it was just a howl because we knew we were making something that was tapping into, like, everybody could relate to working with these kind of people or these kind of, you know, awful customers that you're dealing with. So, yeah, the movie is doing great, and, you know, people seem to be, you know, emailing me and having a few laughs with it. So, you know, that's what we intended to do. So I'm glad people are digging it, and I'm working with those guys again on another film that we're going to start in the spring, and that's the lead role in a comedy.
Oh, great.
So I'm starting to, due to the success of the album and Waiting doing so well, I'm meeting with directors every day, and there's a couple of great scripts. So hopefully by this time next year, we'll be talking about a couple of my, you know, lead roles in feature films.
See, look at that, buddy. You're blowing up.
I'm just trying to play the hustle game, man. I'm trying to be the pimp.
Word up, player. Word up.
Keep that hand strong. Keep that hand strong.
All right, Dane, we'll let you go. I got a bunch of plugs. I'll plug you the rest of the show. And best of luck with everything, dude. You got going on. You're a true sport for coming on the LunaticRadio.com show.
No problem, man. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right, take care of yourself.
Later.
All right, man. 2-5. Peace.
Sweet.
Dane Cook, everybody, on the LunaticRadio.com show. We'll take a break. We'll come back, everybody, and do some weird, wacky hijinks humor, everybody.
What we do best.
On the LunaticRadio.com show. Back right after this.
It's LunaticRadio.com.
I listen to radio also to get annoyed. And there's this light FM station here on Long Island called Walk 97.5, WALK.
Uh-huh.
And they have a guy that comes on at 7 o'clock and he does the walk pillow talk, where it's like where you can call up if you're like, if you're, you know, you got a wife or something, you call up, I want to, you know, send this one out to my loved one, Sarah, I love you, baby. Like, people are supposed to be in their beds, like, laying
right
on their pillows.
And listening to the radio.
Talking and playing, you know, love music.
And have the radio on.
And it's hosted by this guy, Glenn Hollis.
What a moron. What a waste of time.
His delivery is so ridiculously over the top. It's incredible. It's 7 o'clock, mind you. Like, 7 o'clock.
7?
Like, people are coming home from work at 7. Like, I'm waking up at 7.
I'm still on my jet.
Right. So he comes on with his program thinking everybody's in bed, you know, yeah, talking right. in with their pillows.
Right. At 7.
The wall, 7 p.m. What are you talking about, Glenn? Glenn, I'm still awake, pal. Can you wait a couple hours? Maybe start to walk pillow talk at 11 p.m.? When I'm fucking 10 beers in a bag? Then I'll be doing some walk pillow talk. I'll make some special dedications to my ball bag.
You should call up. I like to dedicate the next song to my ball bag.
Yeah. So he starts this thing at 7. And he plays this song at the top. I've only heard the show a couple times, but every time he sure. starts the show with this.
Are you ready, boo?
Not that one. That'd be great, though, if he did. This one.
Oh.
And this is his delivery. Hi, everybody. It's Glenn Hollis. I'm Walk 97.5. If you're chilling out with your loved one.
Or your ball bag.
Tell her you love her. Tell her how much she means to you.
Always and forever.
Send this one up to her, baby.
This is 7 o'clock.
Call me at 1-800-WALK-PILLOW-TALK and it's just I'll like batch a load on your wife's face for you. Verbally.
That somehow came true.
He whispers into the microphone.
And I know
it's like,
tomorrow.
How you doing?
These guys think they're making a difference.
Yeah. You're not making a difference. You ever seen a typical family from Long Island at 7 o'clock at night? You kidding me? They're either getting into a drunken fight or there's a husband yelling at his wife because the dinner isn't cooked correctly. That's what's going on at 7 o'clock at night, Glenn Hollis.
Oh, that just killed the Long Island image.
Yeah. Walk pillow talk should not be programmed at 7, and you should not be whispering into the microphone, like you're jacking on the console.
Man, I wish I could have pillow talk at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. No, Rocket's stuck in traffic trying to get to the studio at 7 o'clock. Hi, it's Glenn Hollis, everybody. And I have a massive erection. You gotta see a picture of this guy too, man. Oh my god, this guy looks like Craig Stadler on crack. You know the golfer?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
On crack.
This guy is so out in right field or left field, it's incredible. And every night at 7 o'clock, it's Glenn Hollis, everybody, and Walk 97.5. I love you.
7 o'clock, I'm pulling. You know what?
If you're cuddling up with your loved one at the moment, it's 7:04. If you're cuddling up with your loved one at the moment, tell her you love her. Tell her how much you care for her and that you'll take the kids to soccer practice.
7:04, fuck you. I just sat in an hour of traffic.
Yeah. 7:04, I'm ready to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you talk about Walk Pillow Talk. And play this goddamn song over and over.
Unless I got, when I go home, I got a chick with half a bottle in of vodka. Nothing's happening at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
How much?
I'm gay. Yeah, I'm gay. I like swollen balls. I can't prove that I've ever been with a woman. Gay. I like a big butt or a penis. Hey, I'm the gay guy. Remember me? Everything I do is because I'm gay.
All right, let's let the cat out of the bag. That's Glenn Hollis right there.
There it is. Oh, we just gave it away.
Yeah, I'm gay. Gay.
This is that secret show now that everyone's going to be talking about in the future. Remember that show in August? Yeah.
If you Walk Pillow Talk 97.5 here on Long Island, Light FM station. 7 o'clock at night, everybody. 7 o'clock. Just think what you're doing at 7 o'clock at night on a weekday. You're not in bed talking to your loved one about how much I care for you.
I'm dropping a deuce.
Right, that's what I'm doing at 7 o'clock. I'm taking a lunch dump.
Right.
I'm trying to recycle some crap that I ate at lunch. I'm taking a Taco Bell dump at 7 o'clock, Glenn. That's what I'm doing. Not listening to you, pal.
Honestly, in this day and age, do people even do that? Like, turn on in the radio?
No. You know what Walk 97.5 and every other Light FM station is out in America? You know what music that is for people? Mm-hmm. People without a central nervous system. That's what that station's for. That is for people with no brain.
Wow.
Glenn Hollis.
That was intense.
You know what Glenn Hollis does after a show?
What's that?
He goes home, smokes his crack pipe, and plays Sega. He doesn't even own PlayStation.
He throws on Sonic.
Like, he's so back in the 80s, he's playing Sega.
And he goes home and he sits down, he's like, yeah, tonight was good. Tonight, people made love to the sounds of me.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Somebody shot his wife.
Oh my god!
That's what happened. Some dude in Wine Dance.
Here we go. There that goes again.
I'm kidding.
There's 3 weeks ago.
That was a local humor for everybody.
Right now, PodcastAlley.net is taking down our show.
Yeah. All podcast sites are taking us down.
Craig just passed out.
It's Glenn Hollis. Do you think he talks to his wife like when he wakes up in the morning and goes into the kitchen?
Like that?
He's like, hey, honey, what's for breakfast? I love some scrambled eggs.
He sounds nothing like it. Fucking bitch.
Can you send me a special dedication of some Canadian bacon with some home fries? Over to the table.
With some lovely hash browns.
This is Glenn Hollis, baby, of Walk 97.5. I gotta go to work at 7, so get on this dick.
This concludes the LunaticRadio.com broadcast day. For questions and comments, email the show at LunaticRadio.com. That's THESHOW at LunaticRadio.com.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.